Dear Jesus, thank you for the privilege to gather. Thank you for privilege eyes to see us this show. Thank you for ears that hear. Thank you for receptive us. Thank you for light to your word, the lights of flood every mind and every heart. Thank you for an atmosphere of faith and power. Thank you for togetherness and comprehension and participation. We give you praise and all of the glory. Thank you because your power is present to heal every sickness, disease, and infirmity. Thank you because, we just drove out sicknesses, disease, and infirmity. Yeah? And so it is, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the testimonies that abound. Thank you for sugar level dropping quick. Thank you for blood pressures dropping quick. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for swollen limbs, swollen parts. In the name of Jesus, dropping quick. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you because we live better than we came. Our lives are changed and transformed. And we are forever grateful. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have your seat. If I didn't minister to you, you can just stay where you are or get to your seat. If that's you. Just get to your seat, all right, and just raise your hands and take what is yours so that we can start teaching. Get to your seat, raise your hands, and take what is yours. Yep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, handling the scriptures rightly. Let's quickly get on what we have for today. I'm going to have to move at the speed of light. Handling the scriptures rightly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Just check. This this looks like any get an echo. Not drop it too much, but just to be sure it won't go beyond the boundaries of an echo. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:14. "But continue down in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Again, in verse 14, the admonition remains and abides, which is for you to learn. Learn. Okay? You must learn the truth of God's word. The Bible is to be learned. Okay? The Bible is not for you to put under your pillow and sleep on. It is to learn. The Bible is not for you to hold and wield against the enemy. No. The information therein is for learning. So, the instruction remains and abides. Learn, learn, learn. Number two, to be assured of what you're learning. So don't just learn. Move on to assurance. Be assured of what you're learning. Romans 4 from verse 18 to 21 speaks about Abraham. It says, "Being fully persuaded that he which had promised was able to perform." Okay, so he came to a point where he saw God who promised him as the same who was able to bring to pass what he said. That is the faith journey. Persuasion, assurance, conviction. And so, what you are learning, you must come to the place of assurance. You know, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 warns us and says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Okay? So, that we henceforth be no more children. He wants us not to be children. Okay? People who cannot take a stand, people who are not convinced, persuaded, and assured, people who can be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I mean, you just go somewhere or get on social media, just hear that this is what's working now, and you start doing it. Whether it is God's word or not God's word, when you move on to the place of assurance, you're not easily dissuaded. Rather, you are stayed and focused on the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, you are not only to learn or get assured of certain truths or the truth of God's word, you are to continue. You are to continue in learning and in assurance. Okay? So those are the instructions, exhortations, and admonitions we can get from there. And of course, the concluding part says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that brings to our notice the purpose of being in a local church, a sound local church, where you can particularly say, this is the person or persons, as the case may be, who are teaching me. So, not only persons, or person, it also has to do with what you are learning, right? Amen? I mean, nobody can say that, or perhaps you'll be lying, if you say, I went to the Identification Church on the 13th of September, Wednesday. I started the service by 5 p.m., and Pastor came and taught on how to have a godly marriage. Would that be correct? Hey, are you there? Yes, sir. Would that be correct? Yes, sir. That wouldn't be. Okay, because nobody taught that today at the Identification Church, right? So it says, knowing of whom thou hast learned. Of course, if we're going to understand this with respect to Paul and Timothy, Paul was referring to himself, right? And if we're going to expand this in terms of Timothy's entire life, you know, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 5, that the same faith which was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I hope I'm not mixing the names, is in you now. So, and of course, you remember in Acts 16, when Paul met Timothy, he didn't meet him a sinner. He met him saved. But Paul would have him go with him in ministry. Okay? So Paul established him in the gospel and in ministry. Okay? Paul didn't get him saved. So if he's going to have to do with all that he learned throughout his entire life or Christian life, of course it will refer to certain, maybe a certain person or certain persons who taught Timothy before he met Paul. And so, however, but let's just stick with Paul and Timothy. Amen? And learn the necessity of a local church, a sound local church at that, where you are taught and you are able to tell whom is teaching or has taught you in the word. Amen? And of course, from verse 15, 16, 17, the instructions remain and abide. And I just want to take off so that we don't spend much time there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, study or be diligent to show thyself approved or acceptable unto God, a workman or a teacher. Okay? When I say or there, in terms of workman, that's the figurative meaning. Okay? The context has to do with Bible teaching. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, and you remember that, that is not don't want to add in double negative. Or let's say that is, let's not add the negative. A teacher that is blameless or without blame or innocent, that's the word there. Needed not to be ashamed. One word in the Greek. And of course, rightly dividing, where we can say we coined our title from, and that's a word that means, when I say word, I mean in the Greek, one word, rightly dividing, two words in English, but one word in the Greek. I'm sure you know that. And that has to do with handling rightly or teaching correctly. Teaching the truth correctly, okay? So handling rightly the word of truth. So if you can handle rightly the word of truth, as it were, don't forget how we present it, handling aright or handling rightly presenting or handling rightly the scriptures, presenting the word of truth. Well, you say handling the scriptures, okay? So if you can handle the scriptures aright, that means you can handle the scriptures wrongly. And this study is to help us to handle the scriptures rightly. Okay? The scriptures are not a talisman or a book, a compendium of magic words. No. You're supposed to learn to know God, to know his son, as opposed to learn to fellowship with God, to learn to know how spiritual things work. Okay? So it requires diligence, diligence, diligence. Amen? It requires diligence. And that's important. In Luke 24, from verse 44 to 46, of course, we see Jesus teaching his disciples from the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning himself. In verse 45, he opened their understanding and they might understand the scriptures. In verse 46, he says, thus is written, and thus it behove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Okay? So in other words, the understanding of the scriptures is to see that Christ should suffer and rise from the dead the third day. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter and John preaching in the temple after they healed the man, the lame man by the beautiful gate, also said that the things that the prophets have spoken ahead of time now fulfilled by Christ, in Christ. Acts 3:18. In 1 Peter 1:10 and 11, Peter says the same thing. Okay, verse 11, searching what the woman of time the Spirit required, what the name signify, when he testified beforehand, that is, ahead of time, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Okay, so of course, the scriptures are concerning Jesus, right? John 1:45. John 5:39 to 40, John 5:45 to 47. The scriptures are about Jesus Christ. Also, from Luke 24, well, let's not say Luke 24, let's say 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. From 2 Timothy 3 and 15, salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, is the message of the scriptures and the lens through which the scriptures are read or learned and taught. Again, from 2 Timothy 3:15, salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, is the lens through which the scriptures are read or learned and taught. Okay, so it is important to always know that. Now, remember, I've said this, just bring to your remembrance, that in reading and understanding the scriptures, number one, the writer's intent is important. So in other words, you may want to write it this way. You must arrive at the writer's intent. It is important to arrive at the writer's intent. What does that simply mean? There is something that the writer meant. And don't forget, we read 2 Timothy, right? And we saw in verse 16 that it is God that inspired the prophets to write. Okay? Are you there? So, whenever we say the writer, of course, you would point to the prophets. But don't stop there. Remember that it is God that inspired the prophets to write. So, arriving at the writer's intent is to arrive at what God intended, or God's intent when he inspired the prophets. Okay? I'm sure you know that if you do not arrive at God's intent in Bible reading, learning, study, or teaching, then you've missed the mark, right? You've missed the point. Amen? Praise God. Okay, one example comes to mind. Philippians 4:19. Is it 19 or 17? Let me be sure. Philippians, I mean 17. 17, right? No. 19. No. Philippians 4:13. Okay? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, or that strengthens me, or which strengtheneth me, right? I can do all things. Paul said that. But by the time you read through what Paul was saying, you will see that it was not loosely saying, I can do everything you can think about in this world through Christ that strengthens me. No. It was saying, I know how to live life in plenty and in lack. I know how to continue in the ministry of Jesus in plenty and in lack. That's the all things. So once we miss that, we find another meaning for what he was saying there. Does that make sense? Hey, does that make sense? So the writer's intent is important. A lot of times people have felt that you should not be academic with the Bible. It doesn't make any sense. You get academic with every book. Except the book has no words. It's just filled with lines. Even a book with lines. Amen? Maybe it was written by shorthand. You have to be diligent, right? You have to be studious with it. Okay? Once you don't arrive at the writer's intent, you miss the point. So, Paul didn't say, I can do everything and anything through Christ that strengthens me. Amen? I don't work at all. I don't have any source of income. And I live in a rented apartment. And it's 1 week to pay in rent. And I start saying I can do all things through Christ. No, you cannot.
Oh, amen. Are you there? Uh-huh. I mean, you start saying many, we can say many other things till you miss the point. Okay? So the writer's intent is important. And we can further say that to be the context is always key. Okay? Not forgetting the pretext and post-text. I mean, if you go to Philippians 4:13, you will get the point. By the time you read the verses before 13 and the verses after 13, you will get the point. That, oh, this is why Pastor said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Though all things you see there, it does not mean everything and anything. It has to do with knowing how to abase and how to abound. All right, so context is always important. Check the text before. Don't just jump on a verse and jump off with an interpretation. No. That is why you have a book, not postcards. That's why you have a book. Okay? So, number two, in reading and understanding the scriptures, there's a message God is passing across. You must remember that. There's a message God is passing across. Ultimately, Christ is God's message to man. Okay? So we're not saying that in his spooky form or without meaning or without foundation. We have said already that the scriptures are concerning Jesus. So we're not saying that here now you should say there's a message. So you could have a message, I could have a message, she could have a message. No. The message of God to man is Jesus Christ. And that's why the scriptures are concerning Jesus. Okay? Now, let's move on. Also, to remember, in scriptural writings, I gave this to you at different times, so that's, I'm done with that one and two, but we're still remembering. In scriptural writings, these are things to note. In scriptural writings, these are things to note. Number one, the purpose of the writing. We mustn't assume the purpose of the writing. Yes, we can ultimately say the purpose of the writing is to reveal Jesus. Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit or essence of prophecy. Yes, we can ultimately say that. But it's important to know why the writer is writing. It helps to bring understanding. If not, you may take it out of context. Take, for instance, in John chapter 20, from verse 30 to 31, John says why he wrote the gospel according to John. He said, these are written, that's verse 31. In 30, he says, many signs Jesus did, but are not written in this book, and so on and so forth. So in 31, he says, these are written that you may believe. That's the purpose of the gospel according to John. He wrote so that those who read can agree that Jesus is the promised Messiah, is the promised Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, that Jesus is the God that became a man, or the man that God became, Jesus. Okay? He started the book by saying, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God. In verse 14, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So he wrote that book to convince. that Jesus is the Christ, so that those who get convinced might believe on him. To put faith in him for salvation. That's the purpose of the book. In 1 John, and remember, the historians tell us that the gospel according to John and the epistles of John were written the same week. Okay, so same man with same amount of experience and revelation, but the books had their purposes. In 1 John 5 and 13, John writes and says, I write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He's not writing that they may believe. Even though, you know, there's a thing there with King James. But if you get an NIV, I think it clears the air. And a host of other translations. Or if you study the manuscripts, the original manuscripts, okay? Because he writes as though he say, I write to you that believe that you may know and that you may believe again. Okay? But there's a purpose to the epistles. So 1 John is to write to those who have believed that they may know. I remember the word know, eido, E-I-D-O, a word that means to experience, to be conscious, to come to awareness. So faith in Christ bequeaths to you eternal life, but you must know. There's a knowing that you must come to have. Not just say, I have eternal. No, I know. I know. I know. I'm convinced. I'm assured. I'm persuaded. I experientially know that I have eternal life. Eternal life is the gift of God, yeah, but I have come to know. So he wrote that they may know that they have eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, as simple as that. The purpose of writing. The same we have said over and over again in Genesis chapter 1. The purpose of Genesis chapter 1 and perhaps 2. Let's just stay with 1. The purpose of Genesis. Okay, let's just say Genesis. The purpose of that book, maybe if you take into cognizance chapter 1, 2, and 3, is not to tell us how things began. Mm-mm. The reason he went to the beginning, just like John. You know, John, he started by saying, the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen? So Moses, he was born in Exodus 2, had an encounter with God in Exodus 3, and sent of God to Israel in Exodus 4. Okay? And God sent him as a prophet to the children of Israel. So Genesis is Moses convincing Israel from the beginning about God's promise to them in Abraham. Does that make sense? Are you there? Convincing them from the beginning. So when you read Genesis 1, it's not about how creation was done. I mean, if you really want to know how, will you really see it in Genesis? And God said, that's all he said. Amen. Praise God. Are you there? So that will help you when you are reading it. You won't just be seeing sun, moon, star. No. There's a message. There's a purpose. He's convincing Israel about the promise. So it goes to the beginning, before Abraham. That this thing, this deliverance God promised you, has been since the beginning. The promise of God to Abraham in Genesis 12, since the beginning. Since the beginning. So the things you will see there are parables to present God's message to man. Praise God.
Amen. So the purpose of the writing, important. Number two, the writer's language. You cannot just assume that the English you speak today is how the writer spoke. As a matter of fact, the writer does not even speak English. Right? Translation. It was translated. As a matter of fact, King James Authorized was not the first translation. Authorized King James came about. Yes, it was King James of England that authorized that particular translation. But it came from several preceding translations together with the original manuscript. Amen? So, King James 1611 is not first English Bible. In fact, if I show you one Bible, if you see the English, it's like they are gunning. Boom, 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 boom. It's English, oh. Boom, 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 bullets. It's a bazooka. Boom, boom. Okay? So, you mustn't just assume. Say, all things. Yeah, all things is everything. Wait, is all things not all things? All things is all things. So, why would you now say all things is two things? Is that all? Amen? No. You mustn't just assume. We have said it over and over again. We know what breakfast is. Breakfast, right? Breakfast. But today, there's another kind of breakfast that you can be served. Amen? Oh, are you there? Are you there? So, you won't just assume that the way we reason, the way English has evolved up until this point, is how it was then. And many other manner of speaking, language, verbiage, what they take certain words to be, and the way they are used. For instance, in Luke 24 and verse 49, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That word endued, it used to be, is an old verb. It used to be used as It used to be used for putting on a garment. And when you wear clothes, that's enduo, endued. Amen? So you must understand that and submit your mind and your thoughts to the writer's language. Amen? Number three, the biblical terminologies. There are terminologies in Bible that, of course, you know, the Bible is parabolic in expression or proverbial. So there are terminologies in Bible that carry certain meanings. And there are some that their meanings perhaps change per context, as it were. For instance, in Genesis 1 and throughout the Bible, well, let me say most times so that I won't be absolute. Earth, E-A-R-T-H, is figurative of human beings or the heart of man. So you must be mindful of that. Earth. I say, are you saying there's no earth? Nobody is saying that. But the context of the prophet's writing, the language, the terminologies used, earth is figurative of men. Praise God. So when Jesus in Mark 4 gave a parable of the sower and he said the sower went to sow, when he was interpreting the parable, he said the sower sowed the word. So seeds into the ground is a preacher preaching the word of God into the heart of a man. That's the point. So in Genesis 1, 2, and the earth was without form and void, and that was upon the face of the deep. That's referring to men. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light. Light in the heart of men. That is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, for God who commanded in Genesis the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Oh, man. So you must be mindful. That's how you successfully navigate biblical text. Amen? Amen? Amen. Quickly, Psalm 86. Psalms 86.
By the way, your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Please, oh, is Psalm 119 verse 11. Looks like I've been saying verse 9 a couple of times. I think 9 says, wherewith a young man cleanses ways, taking heed according to your word, or something like that.
Okay, Psalm 86, are you there? Ready to read?
Hey, come on now. Well, I've jumped to. We stopped at 24, Abby. The next Psalm is 86. Don't say, what of 25? I'm the one teaching. Amen. Psalm 86, are you ready to read? Are you ready? Okay, one, two, go, let's read. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusted in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God. For great is thy mercy. And the assemblies of violent men. And I have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, and gracious, O turn unto me, give thy strength, show me, hallelujah, amen, amen. I believe it's becoming easier now to be able to read, okay, and see that these are the words of Jesus, right? The scriptures are concerning Jesus, not just Psalm 22 or Psalm 16, okay? But you carefully navigate through to understand what it says there, okay? I'm sure you see where it talks about hell. I'm sure you see where it begins and says, bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Hallelujah. That is Jesus with the sins of the whole world. Amen. It says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. Amen. Hallelujah. I am poor and needy, and then again I am holy. Praise God. So the one who is blameless, but who took on the sins of the whole world. Glory to God. The one who is blameless, but who took on the sins of the whole world. Well, let's move on. I mean, you could see here and there. So you could see faith or trust in the Lord for resurrection. For resurrection. You could see trust in the Lord for not only him being raised from the dead, but having a multitude afterwards. This is all nations in verse 5, in verse 9, beg your pardon, whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. That is, this work of redemption will be possible. I will take the sins of the whole world, I will die, I will go to hell, I will be raised from the dead. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You remember verse 13? For great is thy mercy toward me, And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Amen. Amen. All right. That can only be one person, right? Yes, praise God. Okay. Psalm 87, one to go. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab, or Rahab. Behold, Philistia and Ethiopia, and of Zion it shall be said. Hallelujah. This man and that man and her was born there. Praise God. Amen. The city of Zion, having been raised from the dead, there God will fulfill his promise of a nation, a great nation that he made to Abraham. Praise God. Find men born there. Okay. Naturally speaking, Zion was a place that David captured. Okay? He went and he conquered that place. And he now became the city of David. It now became a place of defense. In Hebrews 12, the writer says, we have come to Zion. Hebrews 12 and 24. The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. Let me be sure it's not 22. Sorry, 22. Amen, amen? Okay, so Psalm 88, we'll just read that. My God, carry over again. Psalm 88, are you ready? Want to go? O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in deeps. And thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. I am shut up. My eye mourneth. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out thy hands unto thee. Will thou show wonders to the dead? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? Or thy faithfulness in destruction, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Hallelujah. So this will be, should we call it lamentations or the cry of Jesus having been taken to be killed and the sins of the world laid on him. Remember he cried on the cross and said, my God, why thou forsaking me? Psalm 22 and verse 1, right? You know, so speaking from the place of the dead. That's how you must see it. Okay? So when he talks about prayers, we've seen that severally in Psalms, unto God. That is Jesus trusting in God for resurrection. We read Psalm 86, it says, bow down thine ear. That's to sound like, okay, I mean, he later said it in the lowest hell. I am there, bow down your ear to my cry, to my prayers. Amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. So, it's important to understand this. It will help to continually see that God through the ages was not saying many things. He had a plan and he fulfilled it. When you read Malachi 3 and 6, when he says, for I am the Lord, I change it not. Don't look at it from God's person or character alone. Also look at it from his words, his message. He can't say to you today what he did not say to Moses. He has changed. Is that so? Does that make sense? I am the Lord. I changeth not. Sorry, changeth not. I won't say what I didn't say to the prophets. I won't say what I didn't, pardon me for using didn't, what I didn't say in my song. I won't say to you by my spirit today what I have not said in my word. That is the integrity, the consistency, and the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So if we say Jesus is the message of God to the world, let's mean it in our reading, in our study. Of course, you remember John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, said unto them, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then John explained to us in 39. It says, this spake he of the Spirit. So that water that he said, come drink, is the Spirit, that they that believe on him shall receive. So to drink of that water that Jesus said is to put faith in him. When you put faith in him, he gives you his Spirit. That's the drinking. In that text, within that context, because the scriptures are about him. I mean, remember the one I told you too. I just decided to remind us of the ones we said earlier. That when you read the scriptures, observe these rules regularly. Number one, you are not the writer. You are the recipient. Number two, the writings are firstly about Christ. We are beneficiaries in him. So you don't just take a scripture and because you see he there, or you, and just me, it's me. Oh. No, you read it well to see that this speaks about us, and therefore we can take that for ourselves. Amen. And number three, the scriptures are a body of knowledge. Read them together. Read them together. Read them together. Read them together. There are things that David prophesied about, and until you read Moses, it will not be clear to you. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, we're supposed to proceed to Songs of Solomon. It's a book that belongs to the Megillah. The Megillah is a compendium or a group of five books in the Bible, okay, that were read at certain feasts by the Jews. The Songs of Solomon, interestingly, was read during Passover. And that's instructive. That information will help you on how to approach the Songs of Solomon or the Songs of Songs. It will help you. You just say, it's a toasty material. How can it be? Well, it depends on who is toasting, right? Oh, are you there? Depends on who. It will help you to approach it. Ah, Passover. Where they kill lamb. Take the blood. Where they believe God for deliverance. They read songs of songs. You now settle down. You now read the songs of songs well. When it now begins to mix, you are getting the material. Praise God. Do you follow that? Do you follow that? Aha. So the Bible or the scriptures must be handled rightly. Rightly. There is a right way to handle it. Every book in the canon of scriptures passed that test. It is a testament, a testimony, a revelation of Jesus Christ. All the books. Okay? So when you handle rightly, you get the message. You get the point. When you observe the rules, when you ensure that you arrive at the writer's intent, you get the point. Amen? You will. If you take the book of Psalms, like you are trying to connect some dots, say from this one, that one, that one, that, you may miss the point. If you get to Genesis and you're trying to say, okay, you see it like a movie episode. You know, it did this, it did that. Whereas, from first day to sixth day, one message. And it looks like, the first day, you finish this one. Then you proceeded to the second day, then you see other things. And the third day, every day, same message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, would touch the Songs of Solomon. Read, you may not read through, but read to a certain extent and observe the book. I mean, it can help you to let's just leave it there, okay? So we can close. The next time, we will look at that aspect of the scriptures. And as always, our eyes will be on Jesus. Amen. As always, our understanding will be quickened concerning Jesus Christ. In his salvation, which is only obtainable by faith in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, the Bible is my book. It is open to me. I can read, study, learn, teach from it the revelation of Jesus Christ. I can be taught the revelation of Jesus Christ. My eyes can see clearly. My ears can hear audibly the revelation of Jesus Christ from and on the pages of the scriptures. The message of God to man is Jesus Christ. That is what I see when I read, when I study. That is what I teach when I present Bible facts to men. My message is Jesus Christ, as it is the message of God to humanity. I will be diligent. I will be diligent. I will be diligent. And I will make full proof of my ministry. I will show myself approved, acceptable unto God, a teacher, a preacher, a servant of God that needed not to be ashamed, handling rightly the scriptures and presenting the word of truth. In the name of Jesus, this is my testimony. I'm helped by God. I'm helped by His Spirit. Everywhere I go, I will make known the risen Christ. I will make known the Son of God. And God alone shall be glorified, and men will always be edified. Hallelujah. Put your hands and thank Him. Give Him praise. Glory, glory to His name.